We finished 12. We're now on 13, which is the Gaslight Landing LLC. While you're getting set up,
kill the baby.
Francis, good to see you, and I want to thank you for all you've done for me the last 23 and a half years, you and Keith. Thank you. We'll be seeing you before it's all over with. All right, Ben.
All right. Mr. Pruitt, members of the commission, this project for Gaslight Landing, they have requested authorization to construct a 26-slip community pier facility to include the installation and backfilling of 22 linear feet of bulkhead, the construction of a 12-foot wide by 255-foot long marginal wharf extending approximately 8 feet channelward to mean low water, and the construction of 2 8-foot wide by 125-foot long piers with 8-foot wide by 58-foot T-head platforms extending 141 feet channelward to mean low water with a total of 2 access ramps or gangways, 13 3-foot wide by 20-foot long single piers, 26 3-foot by 3-foot triangular platforms to be installed adjacent to each finger pier and T-head, and 13 freestanding mooring piles adjacent to a planned townhome development situated along the Occoquan River in town of Occoquan, Prince William County. This is the site here shown in yellow. Kathy, if I could have the lights, please. For those of you who are not familiar, this is the Occoquan River and Interstate 95 as you're heading north up towards D.C., and this is Route 1. Location is here in the town. It's just an aerial view. And this is the Route 123 bridge, which is VDOT is currently replacing in this location here just to the side. And just a close-up view here. Again, this is located within the town limits of the town of Occoquan, which is in Prince William County. On the opposite side of the Occoquan River is Fairfax County. This location here used to be the former site of Prince William Marine before they moved their marina facility downstream. And just to give you an idea on the width of the river through here, it ranges from approximately 320 feet on this side of the property to about 420 feet on this side over here. This is the basic layout of the townhome community. We have 10 townhomes that are being proposed to be on the water with an additional 10 on the further on the upland that would front Mill Street here within the town. And again, this is the proposal right here. We have a marginal wharf that would run along the edge of the property and would connect on the eastern side to the Town of Occoquan's Riverwalk project, which is a marginal wharf that moves, travels along down through the shoreline in the town. They are proposing 2 piers here that have a total of 26 slips. This is a drawing that was submitted by the agent for the applicant that does show in the shaded the proposed piers. This is the property here, and it shows in white the previous existing piers from the old Prince William Marine Facility, which no longer exist. This is the bridge location here, and just to point out for reference, there is a rock dike in this area through here, and the channel of the Occoquan River is confined to the north side of that dike. And you can see that dike in this photograph here. This is a 2002 aerial photograph, and the town's Riverwalk project. This is a town park here, a city park, and it does extend in this general location and does travel over top of this portion of the rock dike. So they will be tying in to that portion here. And this is just a cross-section of their floating pier sections they're proposing. This is a cross-section showing the marginal wharf that will extend approximately 8 feet channelward to mean low water where the existing bulkhead is. and there is a old boat ramp on the property, which from the former marina, they will be constructing a bulkhead across the 22-foot opening and backfilling, and this is the drawing showing that portion for the bulkhead. The commission's criteria for the siting of marinas or community facilities for boat moorings clearly states that community piers constructed in conjunction with residential developments, that the number of slips is not necessarily predicated by the number of units on the property. The proposed townhome development will include a total of 20 units, of which 10 will be located on the waterfront of the Occoquan River, while the additional 10 will be located further landward and adjacent to Mill Street. As proposed, the community pier will extend a maximum of 141 feet channelward to mean low water, more than one-third of the way across the Occoquan River. The Commission's subaqueous guidelines state that such piers should not extend more than one-third the distance across a waterway except in unusual channel configurations. The navigable channel of the Occoquan River appears to be located on the opposite side of the river from the proposed project. However, it is unclear just how close to the proposed pier that channel will come. This is of some concern to staff, since there could possibly be navigation issues related to the movement of barges and other vessels past the proposed community pier to and from upriver sites. Just quickly go through some of these ground shots here. This is looking along the edge of the bulkhead. This is the site, the old travel lift and boat ramp in this location here. You can see they will be removing these portions here and extending that bulkhead across. This is the Route 123 bridge that's being replaced. Again, the old boat ramp. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science Shoreline Application Report, dated June 14, 2006, recommends that the number of slips be no greater than the number of potential waterfront lots in order to lessen the potential pollutant load introduced into the river. Their comments also state that the closure of the boat ramp will result in some loss of subtidal and intertidal habitat, and suggest that the proposed marginal wharf be constructed entirely on the upland in order to reduce shading and indirect impacts on subtidal habitats. The Virginia Department of Health has found that the proposed project is in compliance with the sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings, and have concluded that it will not affect shellfish growing waters. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, in an email dated February 15, 2006, stated that the Occoquan River is a confirmed anadromous fish use area, and have recommended a time of year restriction which would preclude all in-stream construction activities between February 15th and June 30th to minimize potential adverse impacts to anadromous fish during the primary spawning and migration period. They further recommend that the strict erosion and sediment control measures be employed. The Department of Conservation and Recreation, in a memo dated March 6, 2006, stated that the proposed project is located in an area with no documented natural heritage resources and that it should not affect any documented state list plants or insects or state natural area preserves under their jurisdiction. In addition, they have also stated that all proposed land disturbance, clearing, or grading must comply with the Chesapeake Bay Preservation Act designation and management regulations. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has issued a regional permit for the proposed project back in April. We as staff did not receive any other comments or concerns from any other state agencies. In the opinion of staff, the applicant's request for 26 slips appears to be excessive when considering the number of waterfront units as well as the total number of units planned for the development. The applicant has, however, pointed out to staff that this site has previously been a commercial marina with far more slips than the 26 that they are requesting. Except for the existing bulkhead and boat ramp, all of the previous piers and structures associated with the former marina no longer exist. In this case, the community piers provide little public benefit, since by nature they are for the private exclusive use of the property owners within that community, whereas commercial marinas are intended and open for public use. As such, staff does not believe the applicant has provided a valid argument to justify the number of slips they have currently requested. For communities with single-family detached homes, staff has typically provided the commission a recommendation for community piers formulated by giving two slips for each waterfront property plus one additional slip for guests. However, since the applicant is proposing a more densely developed townhome community, staff feels that one slip per waterfront unit plus one additional slip would be appropriate. This would equate to a total of 11 slips for the planned development. And this rationale would also work if you were to try and apply how many single-family detached homes you could fit on this property. The property is roughly 250 feet wide. If you had 50-foot lots, you could have approximately five lots, two slips per lot. That would still be 10 plus 1 is 11. So, by reducing the number of slips to 11, the length of the two proposed piers could also be greatly reduced, further distancing them, the piers from the river's navigable channel and providing safer passage for vessels and barges moving to or from the upriver side of the proposed project. Accordingly, staff recommends the commission approve the applicant's request but reduce the number of slips from 26 to 11 to more appropriately reflect the number of waterfront units rather than the total number of units within the planned development, consistent with the commission's criteria for the siting of marinas or community facilities for boat mooring and subaqueous guidelines. Staff further recommends a royalty in the amount of $3,375 be assessed for the encroachment and backfill of the bulkhead over 105 square feet of state-owned subaqueous land at a rate of $3 per square foot, and the encroachment of the marginal wharf over 2,040 square feet of state-owned subaqueous land at a rate of $1.50 per square foot. Staff further recommends the assessment of a royalty for the encroachment of the two main piers and their associated platforms, finger piers, pilings, and access ramps or gangways at a rate of $1.50 per square foot, as prescribed by the Commission's rent royalty schedule adopted November 22, 2005, and based upon revised drawings reflecting the Commission's authorization. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. The applicant and their agent are here today to speak to you on this.
Any questions for Ben?
Yes. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you. A couple of questions just related to the frontage. I mean, did you tell us it was a 250-foot waterfront?
255 feet is shown in the drawings.
Okay. And I guess that relates some to your calculations about how many waterfront lots could exist there. I mean, the VIMS write-up indicates that the neighborhood to be served by this project had been described as being capable of having 20 or 22 waterfront lots. Where does if you had a 50-foot lot line, that's only five lots. I mean, do you know where that comes from?
Well, I believe that we had made a request that the applicant seek an opinion from the town of Occoquan as to how many waterfront lots they had gotten. We didn't feel that we had gotten a proper response from that. The town responded back that by using flag lots that all 20 potential townhomes could have had water frontage. But when you split that up, if you were to survey in flag lots, the amount would not have been enough to each one have riparian rights to have here.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Fox?
Yes. Ben, the marginal wharf, you did not set it back as VIMS recommended?
We considered that, but the existing riverwalk that's within the town was previously allowed to be constructed partially or wholly over the water, so we felt that allowing it as it was proposed was consistent with our previous...
So it would tie into the riverwalk and be the same, basically.
Thank you, Ben. Since the applicant present or represented?
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Ms. Garrison.
This is consistent. Staff recommendations are consistent with what this commission has done in the past on a number of lots.
Okay. All right, all of you this morning. Swear the testimony shall give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall help you God. Thank you. State your name and your position.
Good afternoon, members of the commission. My name is Mark Granville Smith. I am the chairman and CEO of Classic Concept Builders, the developer of the site, which is currently owned by Gaslight Landing, LLC. I got to tell you, since 9:30 this morning, this has been a very educational day, and congratulations on your retirement. I learned a whole lot since 9:30 this morning. This is the first time before this commission. I've been in custom home building for 15 years. This is the first time before this commission and dealing with the VMRC. I'm current president or vice president of the Prince William Builders Association and have been two-time builder a year in Prince William in Northern Virginia. This project has no citizens' opposition, unlike many that you've dealt with today. This town, the town of Occoquan, operates as its own separate entity from the county of Prince William. The project began almost 2 years ago and went through an extensive architectural review board review, not only for the marina and the 26 units, but also the architectural design of the units themselves. And I'm just, not that you're concerned with the appearance of the units, but I brought an exhibit too, like the other gentleman. But these went through extensive design and Victorian design, which we hired a University of Michigan professor to meet the needs and the desires of the town of Occoquan. They operate with a town council and a planning commission, and this project has been approved with this 26 slips and supported by the town of Occoquan. In your packet, there are two letters, one of which to address the staff's concerns about the number of units on this site. Is a letter, two letters, one from Roger Snyder and a dated September the 9th and another dated December the 8th, which actually addresses one commissioner's comment about the density of the site and how many lots could be built on or homes could be built on this site. It's in a business commercial district. It's in a intensely developed area of the county or of the town in a historic district of the town of Occoquan. So whether we used flag stem lots or used a common ownership under condominium ownership of the property, the town's actually indicated by a letter from Mr. Snyder that 22 lots could be constructed or 22 homes could be constructed on that site. We're only building 20 units. We're asking for 20 slips, one for each unit with six additional slips for guest purposes. There is another letter which I'd like to address your attention to, which is dated March the 28th, from the vice mayor and also council member of the town of Occoquan, stating the county's or the town's support for this project. And I might, if I could take a second to read that to you. In August 2004, we approved the Gaslight Landing Waterfront Townhome Project. The project consists of 20 homes and 26 slip marina and includes a provision for the extension of our riverwalk. The riverwalk is a general community riverwalk that the town of Occoquan has received grants for and constructed a portion of along with transient slips to revitalize and improve the waterfront access and the appeal of the waterfront of the town of Occoquan. It's the town's intention to extend this waterfront along all private owners' properties along the frontage of the waterfront. This riverwalk is about a $200,000 improvement that we are doing for the town of Occoquan at our expense. It will be granted a permanent easement with the right of the public to traverse that riverwalk. The project, including the marina and riverwalk, is an important component to our effort to revitalize the Occoquan waterfront. Indeed, the applicant has agreed to grant us an easement and construct that portion of the riverwalk that fronts the property. The first phase of our riverfront, or riverwalk, is complete. The Occoquan River channel was dredged last year, and a new Route 123 bridge is under construction, all benefiting the town and its current and future plans. Because of the importance of the town's development, we are concerned about the lengthy approval process for Gaslight Landing Project. The uncertainty surrounding the approval of the marina has delayed the applicant's lender in finalizing loan and delayed start of construction. We would appreciate your expediting the builder's request. If we can be of any assistance, please do not hesitate to ask. I read that letter to have the record reflect the town's support for this project as it's proposed. Speaking of public benefits, again, we are building the Riverwalk. This is a site that had a 50-plus slip marina a few years back before Prince William Marina moved it downstream. This slip marina and the project is an integral part of the county or the town's intent to revitalize the waterfront of the town of Occoquan. While this is not a commercial marina, we have, within our condominium association documents, allowed for rental of the units along with the slips on a daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly basis. So there will also be access to the general public, and probably, I'm guessing, between 40% and 50% of the units will probably be bought by investors for that type of rental purpose. So those condominium documents all also do permit the ability for other public benefit besides traversing the river water. We are removing as a result of this project, an eyesore that the town has had, as you can see, is the old marina building has been there, and it's been run down for several years with no commercial benefit to the town. In response to the staff, staff says that the norm is two slips per single-family dwelling, albeit detached single-family. The attached is what the town of Occoquan wanted. If we use the 20 units that were approved for, if we'd use two slips per unit, that would be 40 slips plus one, or 41. Even if you use the most strictest interpretation of 10 actual houses or units on the water, 2 times 10 is 20, plus 1 would be 21 slips, which would still give enough units or slips for each unit. Those slips are obviously very, very important to the town and to our unit purchasers. As I say, this is also in an intensely developed area in the historic district of Occoquan. So finally, I would like to request that you approve our request for 26 units, or 26 slips rather. It is significantly lower than what was there before, and it has been supported and requested to be approved by the town of Occoquan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman,
this is Bob Hagel.
I have a question. I have one quick question.
Mr. Holland?
Did I understand you to say the Riverwalk would be open to the public?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's intended that the town of Occoquan, each property owner does not have an obligation to dedicate this land or a Riverwalk, but it's intended by the town of Occoquan to extend this all the way upwards. There's probably 20, 25 shop owners along that Riverwalk that would like to have pedestrian access both in front on the street side as well as on the riverside for commerce.
Mr. Schick.
Yeah, you had said that you could fit 20 single-family homes to have access to the water on this lot?
That's correct. You would have to use, if you were using fee title, use flag lots, but you could do it. And the county zoning administrator is actually indicating we could get up to 22. We're only asking for 20. That's what would work with the site.
My name is Bob Hagel. I'm Mark's partner. What we're in a zoning called B1, which is their high zoning. There are no setback or sideline requirements. It's commercial, it's residential, it's multifamily, whatever you want, because it's the highest. So what they're saying is we could flag all those lots. They may have 12 foot of waterfront, but we can flag them in there, and it meets their definition of a single family lot because there's no offsets. It's not, though, it has to be 50 foot wide. Mm-hmm. It's just what you can fit with your house on a separate carved off lot. What we didn't do was we just went as townhouse design to condominium ownership. Just because it's in the historic district. It's the first new project ever on the waterfront in the historic district in Occoquan. You know, everything else in there is 200 years old until it burned down one time and they rebuilt it. But we wanted to make sure that every one of those units were maintained historically accurate, and we didn't sell one off and somebody let it fall apart. So we built it as a condo instead of going the other route.
Okay. Would you like to say anything, sir?
Probably the only thing I'd want to address is the navigation channel issue with Hal Goodman, Construction Engineering Services. We approached the Corps of Engineers several times about that after they issued the permit, and the woman in the field office down in Dumfries said that she had to go through Baltimore to get something in writing stating that it was outside the navigation channel because they had no issue with it encroaching on the navigation channel with the length of the piers. And she contacted somebody up there, and I've contacted her several times since, and we still haven't gotten anything in writing from the Baltimore office that actually has jurisdiction over the navigation channel there. But she indicated that it was not an issue with them, and they issued their regional permit.
Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? No one here in opposition? The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr. Chairman, I would.
Mr. Holland and then Mr. Robbins.
I would move that we accept the project as submitted. The town has, it looks like to me it's an excellent project and it's approved by everybody. So that would be my motion.
A second to that motion? Seconded by Mr. McCluskey. Discussion to the motion, Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to ask a question of staff.
Yes, indeed.
I had a question for Mr. Grab with respect to precedent and policy. In defining, I mean, as a rule of thumb, in the past, it seems to me that staff has generally advised that we issue the number of slips based on the number of potential waterfront frontages lots along that tract of land. Do we have any precedent for using these pipe stem lots or flag lots?
Not really, because what you're getting at in dealing with the number of slips versus the potential number of private, piers, you run into a situation like they were saying that, sure, I might be able to do 20 lots, but they're 12-foot waterfront.
Right.
Which means a 6-foot wide pier, if they exercise their riparian right to build the pier, allows you 3 foot on either side, of a lot, which practically, like the teeth of a comb, you really can't do. what we have done is we've looked at the number of what we call, bona fide waterfront lots. Now, some localities have minimal waterfrontage that you have to have. In last month's case in the Eastern Branch Elizabeth River, you had the two waterfront lots, even though the other individual said, I can replat it, make all five. They were trying to get, I think it was 10 slips. The commission, as a guideline, said, well, if you had the two lots, 4 and 5, that were riparian, and they each had 2 boats, and you had a community parcel, and you had, a slip that allowed people to load and unload, you come up with a number of 5. Now, in that case, the 5 slips equated to 1 per upland lot, since it was a 5-lot subdivision. In this case, if it could be, even 2 stories, and you could get 40 condominium structures, where do you draw the line? I mean, if you look at it and you say, well, there were 46 slips prior to that, that was the marina, which was truly a public access facility, yes, you have less, but we've wrestled with it. It's merely a guideline, in dealing with applicants to try to tell them what would be, permissible. That's what we use. It's not hard and fast.
Any other discussion to the motion?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Garrison?
I don't see how you're going to justify we're giving these 20 slips of the creek above Sturgeon Creek, ship the creek above Sturgeon Creek, and you recommended, 10 lots for 25 condos?
In that case, like Bob was explaining, zoning in Middlesex County did have a minimum lot size that we used, and also in that case we also went on the other side of the creek and looked at the density of slips over on that side and kind of matched them up.
But doesn't this match up with what staff recommended to that situation?
I think Ben's recommendation was based on as much information as we could.
That's what we've done before, and I think you're setting a precedent here that you can't follow. That you've done before.
Dr. Jones and then Mr. Schick.
My concern on the commission has always been the precedents we set and that we be very clear and explicit in what we're doing and stay consistent. Otherwise, I'm always concerned that the rulings we have will be overturned for being arbitrary and capricious. And I think staff needs to, I want staff to address this a bit more in terms of precedent setting, where it's been matching up, as in your recommendation, the number of slips to the number of what would be viable waterfront lots. Because we've seen also that the lawyers come back here and say to us, well, Williams had an 8x8 cupola. Why can't we have an 8x12? We've seen that very same thing today. And so I think it's very important that we stay consistent in that, have an underlying driving principle in terms of minimal impact on the state's waters when it isn't necessary. That said, I'm confused about the lot size. I mean, can a jurisdiction come in there and say a lot size is 3 feet wide?
They could. I mean,
so I don't understand. I'm not a builder, and I don't understand flaggable lot and viable lot size.
It depends on the locality. As Chip said, some localities say that you have to have 125, 150 feet. Drawing on memory, and Mr. Schick can help me, not within the last 6 months, we had a large development proposal on Monroe Bay. The applicant had something like 2,000 feet or 1,000, what was it, Ben, 1,200 feet of waterfront. That the locality there, you know, basically said the minimum lot size that you could have had was 50 feet. So what we did is we took the available shoreline frontage, divided it up into 50 feet, and said if it were platted to conform with the locality's minimum lot size water frontage, theoretically, you could have these number of piers. The applicant, the developer, did not want to subdivide the lot that way, but that was the criteria that we used, even though some of the piers would have probably been cost prohibitive extending over marsh, and you might not have seen them. Those were the figures and the criteria that we used in basically coming up with the number of slips that staff could support. And that's all I'm saying, that we try to do.
Well, I guess, Bob, locality. My question then is, a locality could say a 2-foot area is enough, you know, or 6 feet wide, so we could have, everybody could have side-by-side piers. So I guess I'm a bit confused as to what would be a viable endpoint for the commission to work with.
Okay? Once you get below 25 feet, I mean, the premise is that if we allow one structure to localize and minimize the environmental impact and consolidate the number of slips, it's in lieu of a plethora of individual.
I understand this principle, but one could theoretically get to an infinitely small size waterfront lot.
Not an effectively use it. If you have a lot that's less than 25 feet and you put a 6-foot, you know, private pier out there, you're getting to the point, we saw 50 foot in Willoughby, but when you get to 25, you effectively, you know, short of a kayaks or canoes, you know, you couldn't put a pier out there and effectively use it. So it begins to lose meaning once you get below, you know, the 50 feet. So saying that I could plat it for 12 feet, to me, with a 6-foot pier, really doesn't allow but 3 feet on either side, which practically doesn't have any boats that you could associate with it.
Okay, so we do have a definable, reasonable standard of what would be a minimal lot size for a pier.
I would say it's, rather than definable, it's reasonable, and it's a practical evaluation as to what could be used, you know, both for a pier and to moor boats.
Okay.
I'd like to add to this conversation. So now, if you have these flag lots where they have, 6 foot frontage, you could feasibly get four of these 6-foot frontages put together, put a pier out, and have four boats at that one pier. Right.
It would be treated as a community.
As a community pier.
Correct.
So this is different than a going into a community where you have to have 25-foot lots. As far as, you know, something that we can say that this is a precedent-setting situation. Not many places come in and say you've got 6 foot. You can have 6 foot water frontage. So I don't think this is going to be a opening up a Pandora's box if we wanted to consider this, because these groups could get together and make separate community piers allowing this many slips if they redesign and reconfigure their development.
It's possibly
we're a regular townhouse unit or a regular residential unit couldn't do that because they require 25 foot frontage.
That's the way to go.
So this is a very unique situation. Just to expand on the conversation,
it is. And Bob, I'd like to ask you, not ask you something, but share something with you. See how you feel about this. When you're talking precedent, You have to also look at other factors other than just the size of the lot or the number of the flips. For example, if this was a project on the Eastern Shore where clamming grounds are prevalent, you have to take that into consideration, too. Up here, the health department says there's no shellfish. There's nothing there involved. You also have situations come before this commission where the local governing body is in opposition with the developer. Here we have the town saying that they're endorsed this 100%. And there's no damage, there's no environmental issue here. It's taking up state bottom land, as Cynthia points out. However, then you get into the point that Mr. Schick raised. So I in addressing Russell's concern, I don't think you're locking yourself in when you have a governing body that's taken this much not only interest but work toward this.
But they, can I speak?
Yeah.
These are condos on Hunting Creek, and you left 10, you left 15, had the first 10 get a chance for the $5,000 slip. You left there. Why can't they come back if you're going to make this decision today? You're completely changing face about available land. You put it, Bob just said, we're using 50 feet, I think, now. But anyway, those people were, I know the creek is small. We talked about the smallness of the creek, the smallness of the entrance.
There's no navigational problem here.
I understand.
No smallness of the map.
Maybe you can blame it on something, but you're going to have to blame it on something.
Well, they also had local ordinances that define the lot size.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Middlesex had local ordinances, too, Russ, on that, if I recall.
I don't think so. Not any problem. You remember any local ordinance?
They have a minimum lot size.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minimum lot size for a slip.
And what I'm saying is that this gentleman has testified in the letters in the record saying that Occoquan is endorsing this project. The numbers now, I don't know.
You won't be here to get bid.
Mr. Schick made a... made a good
option. I won't either, probably.
I've been bitten enough. But anyway, I just... This looks like to me a where it's located. Yeah. If this was on the seaside Eastern Shore, I might not feel this way, what I'm saying.
I've listened to all this conversation, I think the applicant has applied for 26 slots. And after listening to the discussion, I cannot see any justification for more, a maximum of 20.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are in the range of somewhere between 10 and 20.
Although I think his idea of the extra for overflow is a good idea. I wish he ought to have, seem like to me they ought to be able to have something for guests. But
well, no, they do have the T heads.
All right.
Yeah, they do have the T-heads, Bill.
Yeah. T-heads, and they have up against
Mr. McCleskey has a comment.
This is in generality. I hate to see this commission get stereotyped and say one shoe fits everybody.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're not needed.
That's right. I think we need to look at each case individually.
Yeah.
Yep. And judge it individually. It's more work for the staff. I think it needs to be done.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Is that correct? Okay. Mr. Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I would offer a substitute after hearing all the discussion and testimony that we have that we approve it, but with drawings that are acceptable to staff to allow for 20 slips. That is no more than the number of units in the development. I think we're obviously struggling to define policy here, and we're concerned about precedent, but I agree with what the chairman has said, that this is a situation where the environmental concerns are not what they would be perhaps in other areas of the bay that we've considered, and yet the locally this thing could be drawn out and platted in such a way that it did allow for up to 20 lots, and I think we're going to have to continue to work to define that policy, but I think, given all the factors in the case, that's an appropriate compromise.
A second to the substitute, seconded by Mr.
Second.
Bowden.
I'd like to add a friendly amendment, that they still could build the two piers as long as they've already requested. So that way they can either make wider slips or they can have some leadway to the first slip, however they might want to do. So the length of the piers would be the same. which are the same length as the piers that were there before. It's slightly longer, just, I mean, what, 10 feet difference, maybe?
Well, I guess the idea behind the compromise or substitute motion was to try to minimize the scope of the project somewhat. So I'm not inclined to accept the motion, the amendment. I'm sorry.
All right, let's check. The ball's in your court.
Well, he's had a substitute motion. Was there a second to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just think that you know, this gives them an opportunity to have temporary dockage, but not more permanent slips. That's why.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. Then don't we have T heads in place that are going to allow for some temporary dockage?
Ben.
For short term, I mean, you will have the outside of the T-head as well as up against the marginal wharf if that's something that would be needed in short-term use.
It appears that those would hold four boats. I think you got two 58-foot sections, so if you're dealing with 25 to 30-foot boats, you could accommodate four temporarily.
All right. Okay, we had the substitute motion on the floor with the second. All in favor of substitute motion, signify by saying aye.
Question, what is the substitute motion? That's how many?
Okay, restate the motion, Mr. Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Substitute motion is to
it's 20.
Approve the project with drawings that are to be submitted to staff and accepted by staff to include not more than 20 slips.
Okay.
All in favor of the motion, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed to the motion, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4.
The ball's in your court, I believe.
Well, I'm gonna vote against the motion for this reason. I think they ought to have at least two guest slips or whatever they were referred to. So therefore, I'm going to vote no to the motion, and the floor is now open for another motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer another substitute.
All right, Mr. Robbins.
To allow for up to 22 slips and plan drawings acceptable to staff.
Is there a second to that motion? Second by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion?
I would just like, it's a little difficult to have two piers with 11 slips on each pier. I mean, I hate to be picky, but, I mean, there's a design flaw here.
You could have 12 on one and 10 on the other. Keep it even.
Yes, sir. I'll allow you to speak very briefly.
I would agree with him if we could go to 24 as opposed to the 22. That gives you 12 and 12.
We'll make it 24, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
And that would work for us.
Because there's no environmental issue here. If it was an environmental issue, it would be different.
Absolutely.
All right, the motion
I'll
is...
I'll second to 24.
All right. I think Mr. Bowden already did.
Okay, good.
So all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
One no. Any abstention? Motion carries. All right, thank you all very much. Now, in the public comment section, I have had two contacts. Captain Jensen, and then Miss Hill, and I believe Miss Hill, I think you've been here all day long. Captain Jensen, Captain Bob, even though you asked first, she's been here all day long, and I'd like to take Miss Hill first. Is that okay with you?
And you have another one over here on this side.
Tommy?
Yeah.
You'll be following Captain Bob. That'd be great. Good to see you here today. All right, Ms. Hill, come right on up. This is the public comment period. This is items that are not on the agenda, so you can speak about anything you want. We may not take action today. May refer your request for the next meeting. However, you do have a right to. We want to hear from you. And don't have to swear you in. This is okay. Just tell us what's on your mind.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Hill, and I reside at 8316 Crittenden Road, which is located in the city of Suffolk. And I, just to give you a brief history, I...